Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we are going to look at Balaam in Numbers chapter 22, verse 6. Really, you can read about him all the way from Numbers chapter 22 through Numbers chapter 25 and then in some other verses in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, we see what was wrong with Balaam. And in the New Testament, we see what Balaam did wrong. In other words, in the New Testament, we see the way of Balaam, we see the doctrine of Balaam, we see the error of Balaam. The way of Balaam, which you find in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15, was to love the wages of unrighteousness. The doctrine of Balaam, which you find in Revelation chapter 2, verse 14, was to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit fornication. And the error of Balaam, which you find in Jude, verse 11, was to curse and oppose God's chosen people, in this case, Israel. Now, what we're going to do today is we're going to go back to Numbers chapter 22 and we're going to read it, knowing a little bit about Balaam, and see if we can find out from Numbers chapter 22 what was wrong with Balaam. In other words, were there indications in the life of Balaam before he went his way and preached his doctrine and followed his error? Were there things already in him that we can see from Numbers chapter 22? And the answer is yes, there are. We see the following things that were wrong with Balaam. First of all, we see Balaam's pride. Balaam's pride. Numbers chapter 22, what's going on is this. Israel is moving up the king's highway. They have now come up near Moab. The Midianites, whose king is a fellow named Balak, see Israel all spread out over there, and they're thinking, man, these guys have already killed Sihon, the king of the Amorites, and Og, the king of Bashan, and taken all their cities. They're gonna kill us. We need a divine advantage. And so Balak gets the idea that he is going to contact a fellow named Balaam, send messengers to Balaam. And he's going to get Balaam to come and curse Israel. And then when they go to war, this superstitious idea is going to give Balak and the Moabites an advantage in the battle so that they can win. That's his plan. So the messengers are given these instructions to go to Balaam and say this. Verse 6, "Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot," now watch this very carefully, "that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed." And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. And they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, "Lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again as the Lord shall speak unto me." And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. Now, we're going to read a little more of this, but wouldn't you have thought, that Balaam would have said to the elders of Moab who had the rewards of divination? What are you talking about? I can't bless anybody and I can't curse anybody. Only God can do that. That's what he should have said, but he didn't. He didn't shrug off the compliment at all. He took it and told him, y'all will abide here tonight. I'll go see what the Lord has to say. Let me tell you something. That indicates something about Balaam's sin from the very beginning. He is a proud man, very proud. Compare him to Herod in Acts chapter 12. He's the guy that had James killed and was trying to kill Peter. He went after Peter had been let out of jail by the angel. Herod went to them of Tyre and Sidon, and he gave a speech. And when he did, the people gave a shout in Acts chapter 12, verses 22 and 23. The people gave a shout and said, it's the voice of a God and not of a man. And he should have said, I'm not a God. Don't blaspheme God. He didn't. He took the compliment. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Now, a man with the kind of pride that Balaam had was a man destined for failure from the very beginning. And God knew this about him. And you and I can see this about him just reading the passage. God's the only one who can bless and he is blessed and curse and he is cursed. That's what God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. I will bless him that blesseth thee and curse him that curseth thee. God's the only one that can do that. See, Balaam is very much unlike Joseph and Daniel, though Balaam is going to prophesy. Joseph hears the dreams of the butler and the baker, and he says, well, it's not in man. You know, what did he say in Genesis chapter 41? In Genesis chapter 41 and verse 16, he says, this thing's not in me. What does he say to Pharaoh? He says, it's not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. He tells the butler and baker back there in Genesis 40, hey, you know, tell me the deal. Can't God interpret dreams? But when he has an opportunity in front of a dignitary like Pharaoh, he says, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And, you know, the same thing happened with Daniel in Daniel chapter 2 when Nebuchadnezzar dreamed a dream. Nobody could even recount the dream or interpret it. And Daniel asked for some time, started praying. And when God gave Daniel the dream and the interpretation of the dream, he went to Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 28. And he said, in verse 27, he said, the secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers, show unto the king? But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. So he's very careful to give God the glory, and Joseph was very careful to give God the glory, but Balaam, no way, very proud and did not give God the glory. However, Balaam knew that he couldn't bless and curse people. And you say, well, how do you know that? Well, go back to Numbers chapter 22. You know it because he says to them, abide here tonight. I will bring you word again as the Lord shall speak unto me. And God came to him and said, who are these men? He told him. He said unto him, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Now, you know something? Balaam prayed that night to the Lord when the messengers arrived, because he knew that if God wasn't going to bless him, wasn't going to curse him, then he couldn't curse him. He wasn't going to be able to do it. And so he wasn't going to give an answer until he knew what God was going to tell him. And so God told him, thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. So the next thing you want to notice is you want to notice Balaam's disingenuity. To be disingenuous is to say something, to make yourself look better and to withhold some of the truth, really for favor. All right. Now look what the Lord tells him. Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And you know, Balaam had told them. He said, lodge here this night, in verse 8, and I will bring you word again as the Lord shall speak unto me. All right. He didn't. In verse 13, Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. All right, that's only one thing the Lord said. He said, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And those elders of Midian needed to hear that message. But because of Balaam's disingenuity, he withheld very important information when he said, the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. Why, if he tells them, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed, then what they said about him, I wot that thou whom thou blessest is blessed, and whom thou cursest is cursed, wasn't true. So he left it off. He knew more than he was telling. He knew they were blessed. You know, if Balaam had told the messengers the whole truth, they probably wouldn't have come back a second time. Nevertheless, because they still think he's got some power to do this, notice the next thing, Balaam's respect of persons. Balak, when he finds out that Balaam doesn't want to come, is thinking it's probably a negotiation scheme. He's bargaining for more money. So, in verse 15, Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I'll do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. So when Balak sent more messengers and more honorable messengers to Balaam than he sent the first time, and when they promised to promote him, he couldn't resist. Why? Because of his respect of persons. You see, when Balak upped the ante and brought in the bigger wigs and promised promotion and more money, that made it really tough on Balaam. He's like, man, I gotta find a way to do this. But the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 21, to have respect of persons is not good. For a piece of bread, that man will transgress. So these guys are offering a whole lot more than bread. They're offering promotion. They're offering more money. They're offering honor. And he couldn't stand it. Like the Pharisees in Jesus' day, he loved the praises of men more than he love the praises of God. You see, when Balak came back with a higher ante, a higher bid, Balaam's respective persons won him over. He's like, oh, well, at first he sent an ambassador, but now the president himself has come. I can't tell him no. Respective persons. Listen, if he truly feared God, Balaam would have said, guys, great, you're big wigs and all that kind of stuff. I can't go with you. These guys are blessed. I can't curse them. But he didn't do it. So what else was wrong with Balaam? Well, we see his pride, his disingenuity. We see his respect of persons. You know, and he that hath respect of persons committed sin, the Bible tells us. And then we see his covetousness. Look at verses 18 and 19. Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now therefore, I pray you, tarry you also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. Wait a minute. There's no reason for Balaam to tell these guys to hang around another night to see what else God might have to say. He already knows the mind of the Lord. He already knows that the Lord is against him going down there under any duress to curse these people, for they are blessed. And yet he just says, well, stick around, let's see what the Lord says this time. You know why he's doing that? One reason, covetousness. We see here Balaam's covetousness. He is looking for something in the answer from the Lord that will give him the green light to go. He is just looking for an excuse to go. He reminds me of the way people seek counsel. They'll come to me and they'll say, I am thinking about doing this. What do you think? And I'll say, this is the counsel I give you. And it's contrary. It's against what they want to do, because what they want to do isn't the right thing. Then they go to somebody else, and all they're looking for is one little piece, one little statement, one little ray of light to confirm the decision that they've already made so that they can go do what they want to do. And that's exactly what Balaam is doing here. He is just looking for something in the next answer from the Lord that he can hang on to and go. What's driving him? Covetousness. He wants the money. When he gets to thinking about that house full of silver and gold, he's just looking for a way to go. Now, it doesn't look that way. Why? Because of the next thing. Balaam's false piety. Notice it. Verse 18. Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. He sounds like a politician who's been caught red-handed, and he's looking right into the television camera, speaking to the American people, saying, I am not lying. It's false piety. Balaam told the messengers he couldn't go beyond the word of the Lord even if they offered him Balak's house full of silver and gold, and that wasn't even close to the truth. You say, how do you know that? Because in verse 19, when he tells them to tarry, verse 20, God came to Balaam that night and said unto him, watch it, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet, the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. Verse 21, Balak rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. They didn't come to call for him. He just saddled up at daylight and took off. Why? He couldn't wait to get his hands on the money, though he pretended that it didn't matter to him one bit. You've heard people say that before. Oh, well, I'm not in this for the money. Of course you're not, sweetheart. That's why you thought to tell us you're not in this for the money. His false piety. And then notice his disobedience. I've already pointed it out to you, but I want to iterate it again in such a way that we emphasize it. The Lord said to him, if the men come to call thee, rise up. He was told, wait for their call. He didn't. Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. He just saddled up and left town. That's Balaam's disobedience. You see, that's the way it goes for you when you know that you really want to do something, but you've been told you oughtn't to do it by the counsel you've received. So you go looking for other counsel, and even though they told you, you know, there's a condition on it, you look at it and think, you forget that condition. Hey, he said go, and off he goes. You see, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. You know what Balaam hears? Rise up and go with them. You know what you hear when you're ready to disobey God? Rise up and go with him. What's wrong with Balaam? His pride, his disingenuity, his respect of persons, his covetousness, his false piety, his disobedience. But that's not all we see in Numbers 22. His wickedness. Well, he's riding that ass, and of course the angel of the Lord shows up, and he's trying to stop him. He's trying to stop Balaam from going, and three times the angel of the Lord stands in the path to stop that ass, and every time Balaam beats that animal he's riding with his staff to try to make him move. All right? Well, finally, in in verse 27, when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff, and the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, this is interesting, it's a female ass, and yet she's speaking with a man's voice, we find in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 16. He ought to know something's up. And she says to him, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, and now I would kill thee. Oh, boy. Do you not think that we have just learned something more about Balaam here? The ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing there. Well, Balaam bows down, falls flat on his face. And the Lord says to him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass three times? Behold, I went out to stand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. The ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. Man, she was protecting her rider, and he's ready to kill her. You know what that proverb is in Proverbs that tells us about the kind of man that Balaam was? He says in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 10, a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. You know what kind of man Balaam was? He was a wicked man. In that episode right there, we see Balaam's wickedness. The Lord says, thy way is perverse before me. Well, then, because of all this, we see Balaam's worldly sorrow. Numbers 22, verse 34, Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned. Sounds just like a parishioner going to the priest and to the confessional. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now, therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. If it displease thee, you are in absolute disobedience to God right now. When Balaam said, I have sinned, he didn't repent. He didn't repent any more than Pharaoh repented when he said, I have sinned in Exodus chapter 9, verse 27. He hadn't repented any more than Judas repented in Jerusalem when he said, I have sinned in Matthew chapter 27, verse 4. You know what he did? He had done what Paul called the sorrow of the world in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. That's the sorrow that you have when you got caught. If you hadn't gotten caught, you'd have gone right on about what you're doing. It's not a sincere repentance. It's not godly sorrow. Balaam's worldly sorrow. You know what we're dealing with here? A rebel. And that's what we see in the next verse. Balaam's stubborn rebellion. Numbers 22, verse 35. The angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men. But only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. Now the Lord told Balaam that he would let him continue with the messengers under one condition. Only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. Balaam even repeated this condition to Balak. However, listen to me. Balaam never intended to keep that condition. You say, how do you know that? From Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 4 and 5. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 4 and 5. Listen. Talking about the Moabites, because they met you not with bread and with water, Deuteronomy 23, 4, in the way when you came forth out of Egypt, and because they hired against thee Balaam the son of Beor, of Pethor of Mesopotamia, to curse thee, watch it, verse 5, nevertheless, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam, but the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee, because the Lord thy God loved thee. Do you realize that it says the Lord would not hearken unto Balaam? Every time that Balaam went with his sacrifice and prayed to God and got into the trance, he was asking the Lord to curse them. But the Lord wouldn't hearken to him and turn the curse into a blessing. And so he blessed him three times. Do you understand? The Lord said, only the word that I shall speak unto thee, thou shalt speak. But he was trying to speak a curse. What a wicked, lying rebel he was. After his failures to curse Israel, Balaam gave Balak counsel in Numbers chapter 31, verse 16. And the counsel was simply to invite the Jews to eat the sacrifices to their idols and to entice them to fornicate with the Midianite women. And as a result of his counsel, Israel killed Balaam when they fought with the Midianites in Numbers chapter 31, verse 8. Do you understand that? In other words, he tried and the Lord kept turning the curse into a blessing. So he went over to Balak and got his ear and said, look, you want to get these people? Here's what to do. Invite them to eat the sacrifices to your idols and get them to fornicate with your women and God will kill them. And he did. He killed 24,000 of them. Now listen, all of these horrible things were already in Balaam before the messengers came to call him. And now that you've seen them, they're obvious to us. So the point of all this is simply this. The Lord knew what was wrong with Balaam, and he knows what is wrong with you. When the Lord stops you from doing something that you are determined to do, you'd better listen very carefully to what the Lord is telling you to do, because the Lord knows you way better than you know yourself. By stopping you, the Lord is trying to protect you. Balaam would have survived if he hadn't gone. By stopping you, the Lord is trying to protect you, and the Lord is trying to protect the people that are going to get hurt as a result of your stubborn rebellion. 24,000 Israelites died here because of his pride, his disingenuity, his respect of persons, his covetousness, his false piety, his disobedience, his wickedness, his worldly sorrow, and his stubborn rebellion. Don't you know something? There are elements of those in you, and when God counsels you not to do something, don't be a stubborn rebel. Listen to the Lord. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.